Brother Simon had given us a history. Thank you, Simon, for that. It's interesting, what precipitated that history that he gave us was a condition that was very terrible. The condition in the land of Judah that brought about the judgment of God and carried them away into captivity. And Manasseh, the king, the son of Hezekiah, was the one who finally brought it to a height of evil. And therefore, that judgment brought in captivity that took them away, according to the prophecy in Jeremiah, they would be in that land for 70 years. And the land of Israel, Jerusalem, would know its Sabbath, which they neglected to give it, the seven-year rest. Every 7 years, it would experience that rest for 70 solid years, because they neglected to do it for 490, I believe it was. And so it's really interesting that all these things precipitated that. And so the condition of things was a land that had known its rest, and the promises of God were now able to be fulfilled concerning them returning to that place. And what was lacking in that place was the testimony to the name of the Lord in this earth. Because from the time that Nebuchadnezzar took them away in captivity, that began the times of the Gentiles. And so during the time that we're reading in Haggai, it's during the times of the Gentiles. And so it's a very interesting change of conditions completely in the land of Israel. They're no longer a people that has a king. They only have a man named Zerubbabel who was appointed by the king, by the Persian king, to be a governor and just to control under his authority in that area. So that's the setting of this. It's a very interesting change of conditions.
One has to really marvel at the sovereign hand of God in all things. And it bears repeating the whole history. One of the things that leaped out of one of the passages Simon read in Ezra is that it's not only did God move the heart of a Persian king, but it's also God's faithfulness to his promises and to his word. The word to Jeremiah was that the captivity would be for a bounded period of time, and now that time was over. So we have to observe the sovereign and the faithfulness of God as we go through this whole passage. And when we do that, I think it gives us and sets it in perspective to understand why it's something for us to do, to take into account really how our approach and our mindset is with regard to where we are and where we're going. Just want to make the observation that as we go through the passage, let's first maybe just make the observations that are in the text before we jump to application, because I know we love to make the applications really quick, but I think there's a lot that can be gained just from the observation. So the first observation is the sovereignty of God as he works and he rules and overrules in the affairs of men to move the heart of a Persian king, the faithfulness of God in that he keeps his promises, the promise that the captivity would be for a bounded period of time, that time was completed. And now that they're back, by this sovereign king's decree, this king's decree, they come and they start the work, and then they're discouraged. And in their discouragement, this is the text that opens up. This word of the Lord came to Haggai. Again, the observation of God's faithfulness. God does not leave himself without a witness. God is not, as some would suggest, doesn't take interest in what's going on in the earth. Has lost interest in what's going on. Some who take this view, it's a deist view of life where God is impersonal. He just simply sets things in motion and turns his back and leaves things to go. No, God is very much involved in the details of history. History is, someone has described it as his story. It is what he is unfolding, first of all for his glory and ultimately for blessing. And so he brings the word of the Lord to Haggai at this precise moment. It's always good to start with the getting a sense that God is truly in control, that God is sovereign, God is at work.
In this portion, it's interesting how the Lord spells out the condition. sometimes we grow with conditions so that it doesn't affect us. We get used to things, even in a bad way. And the Lord reminds them, you live in sealed houses. Well, you have nice houses with ceilings. And that's perhaps a nice standard, a good way of living. But you're not mindful of God's things or what's unfinished or what's undone or the interests of the Lord and how those things are left standing as they were. Some things are not right. Some things are not complete. Some things are not beneficial that should be. It's a channel of blessing that is left unended. And so the Lord has to remind them also of the conditions of the natural world in their living, in their food, in their land, in the normal little blessings that you take for granted. But they had to work hard for little. The monies that they received didn't go very far. And, you know, that causes a struggle. But you grow with it. You know, and look at our economical conditions today. And I was just talking to someone about this, how working for a living, it seems like the economy has a stranglehold on people to make you have to work so that you might not get out to meeting. I just had an experience this week. Brother Bob was at the meeting and I had to work overtime. But, you know, we can get used to that and it doesn't seem so bad or so wrong. But the blessings that the Lord has intended for us and that which He could give and would love to give are missed. And so the Lord spells out the conditions and what they got used to and what isn't right.